So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 6, The Activities of Lord Rishabhadeva, Text Number 7. Because the text number 7 is like a prose, you know. So what I'll do, I'll read once and then we'll move on.
Thank you. What is it?
It's like a prose format, it's not like a verse. The prose like the continuous. Tasyaha eva, tasyaha va eha mukta, lingasya bhagavata rishabha, yogamaya, vasanaya deha imam jagatim, abhimana bhashena, shankara manaha, Bonkavenka Sutakan Sutakan Dakshina Karnatakan Desham Yadcha Yo Pabaha Kutascha Loka Pavana Ashya Kritasma Kavala Punmada Iva Mukta Murtojo Samita Eva Vichachara. So the translation is, actually Lord Rishabhadeva had no material body, but due to yoga maya, he considered his body material, and therefore, because he played like an ordinary human being, he gave up the mentality of identifying with it. Following this principle, he began to wander all over the world. While traveling, he came to the province of Karnataka in South India and passed through Konka, Venka and Kutaka. He had no plan to travel this way, but he arrived near Kutachakala and entered a forest there. He placed stones within his mouth and began to wander through the forest naked and with his hair disheveled like a madman. So there is no purport for this, so we move on to text 8. Atta samira veda vidutha veda vikashana Jyotokra Davana Davana Lastar Vanam Alini Alinihana Sahatena Dadaha. So the translation is, while he was wandering about, a wild forest fire began. This fire was caused by the friction of bamboos which were being blown by the wind. In that fire, the entire forest near Kutakachala and the body of Lord Rishabhadeva were burned to ashes. Purport by his given by Srila Prabhupada. Such a forest fire can burn the external bodies of animals, but Lord Rishabhadeva was not burned, although he apparently seemed so. Lord Rishabhadeva is the super soul of all living entities within the forest, and his soul is never burned by fire, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Adayo yam. The soul is never burned by fire. Due to Lord Rishabhadeva's presence, all the animals in the forest were also liberated from material encagement. Om Jnanti Marandasya Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chakshu Meditamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితమేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదాపదాంతికం. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. సో వి డూ ఎ స్మాల్ రీక్యాప్ టు పిక్ అప్ ద థ్రెడ్. నౌ టువర్డ్స్ ద ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫిఫ్త్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫిఫ్త్ క్యాంటర్, సుఖదేవ గోస్వామి He's talking to Maharaj Parikshit about this pasam, and he was mentioning how Rishabhadev, being a plenary or the full expansion of the Supreme Lord, for him naturally all the mystic siddhis come to him naturally. He did not have to do anything. Naturally it comes to him. Like what? The siddhis is he can travel from one place to another place with the speed of the mind. He can enter into other bodies. He can appear in one place and disappear. All this mystic siddhis is naturally given to a devotee. And Rishabhadev, being the Supreme Lord himself, had already got this powers. With that, Sukadeva Goswami finished the chapter 5. Then, as usual, normally, you know, if you look at the trend, any chapter you see, based mostly, Parikshit Maharaj asks a question, and then the chapter will continue. So, the beginning of the 6th chapter, of the 5th canto, Parikshit Maharaj, he's asking a question to Sukadeva Goswami. He's saying, you told me that, you know, Rishabhadev has got mystic powers, and I also know that the devotees of the Lord, because of the process of bhakti yoga, they are awarded this mystical powers. But in the case of Rishabhadev, although he had the mystic powers to do anything and whatever he wanted, yet he did not use them. What is the reason? He could have used, rather than, because we know from Rishabhadev pastime that the Lord went from place to place wandering like a madman. He has been hit. So when people were hitting him, he could have disappeared. And he did not have to travel. He can appear in one place, disappear like that, just to show that he is a Supreme Lord. Why did the Lord not do that? This is a question raised by Parikshit Maharaj in the very first verse of this chapter. Then what happens? Then, as usual, Sukadeva Goswami continues his narration. And let us see quickly what he is saying. Why Rishabhadev did not take up the material opulence? Why he rejected this? Although he can use. And we'll come to this verse today. So he is giving a series of very wonderful reasons. So in the text too, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, when a hunter, he catches an animal, wild animal, and puts under his shelter, he always doesn't have faith in that animal, because any time the animal may run away. Therefore, a mystic yogi also has to watch his mind, because suddenly it will pull away from him, just like the animal. He's talking in verse 2. Then, in verse 3, he is saying, the mind by itself, by the nature, it is restless, flickering, undependable. And which learned person will depend on the mind? We are all learned, right? But we are depending on the mind. See? Which learned person will trust the mind? Because it's always flickering, restless, undependable. Just to give you a small insight into this, when I was in the school, many years ago, I had a friend. The problem with him is, he will study, you know, he complete, we all, I also study, he also study, you know, in India, how all your personal career development, everything depends on the marks. How much mark you get at the final exam. If you get 85, oh, you're a clever guy. Doesn't matter whether he is a bookworm or he studies. Correct? So, we are all like that, you know, because. So, what he does is, he is a very hard worker. He studies day in and day out. Nicely, you know, I want to get marks. Even the university also, I remember. He studies. Then, just a day before the exam, he has got this phobia. Then the fear. And he forgets this. You believe it or not? I've seen him personally. He cries just before the exam. Surya, I don't know what I've studied everything, but I don't know what will happen to me. I will see, you know, with tears almost. Because he's worked hard. Why? Because at that time, when you need the mind the most, the mind will fail. That is the very nature of the material energy. It fails, it must fail. And sometimes you see, during the, you know, a person will be driving very nicely on the road. Suddenly some other car and comes and hits him. His mind will become frozen. Have you watched that? He will not know. He will say, they will say, bring your insurance. Insurance, my driving license. You know, he will be lost. And sometimes, you know, I've seen this conversation when you go slowly. You know, sometimes when you walk or something, two car hit. Then this guy will say, what is your registration number? He will go and look and say, because it's frozen, it's not thinking. This is the very nature of the mind. And here it is said, will any learned person trust the mind? Look at that verse on the same. Then, in the next verse, he's saying, he's giving an example about an unchaste woman. An unchaste woman is always attracted to paramours. This man is not good. I like this man. I like this man. Keep on moving. So, the mind and the intelligence is compared to an unchaste woman. Moving from person to person. And in the fifth verse, he is saying, not only that, the mind is a cause of what? It's a storage house. The mind is nothing but a storage house consisting of previous remembrance, previous thoughts, previous habits. That's all the mind is made up of. The mind is not something, you know, very wonderful. It is wonderful in one way, because it's a material energy. But it is filled, it's a container. It's a container filled with previous actions, previous thoughts, previous habits. That's all. You just see, go there, and when you get a time, you see. Then the mind will say, oh, when you were 20 years back, you did that, you went there. You know, it's storage. It comes out. And that mind, you know, how can you trust? Because the mind always, you know, thinks about the past or the future. Very rarely, seldom, does it think about the present. Because when the mind thinks about the past, then that particular person is in the mode of ignorance, always thinking of the past. I did like this in the past, I did that, past, 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 ignorance. When the mind thinks of the future, passionate, I want to do this, I want to, that means more of passion. But very rarely the mind thinks of the present or present today. We are here in this temple room. Radha Vallabha is there. So we are in the premises, in the spiritual energy. And then we execute things. Okay, this is dirty, we'll do that. You know, like that organizing things. But not many of the time, you know, when we come and see Mirudanga, we think, oh, the same color Mirudanga, I bought it 5 years back, it broke. That's the mind reflex goes, constantly pulling, flickering. So, it's always better to be the word of goodness. So that we are relatively on the steady ground. Otherwise, you know, flicker. And then we come over here today to this verse about how Rishabhadev had a body. So the verse number 7 and 8, verse number 7 is talking about how Rishabhadev was a supreme lord and he did not have a, his body is not material. That's what he's trying to say before his body is being burned. And the next one, it says that how in the forest fire his body was burned. So we will see, we'll delve well on some of the points, you know, today about these verses, two verses, okay? What do you infer, what do we infer from the pastimes of this particular pastime, the section of Rishabhadev? What do we infer or what do we understand? That Rishabhadev is going through severe austerities, renunciation process. Severe, it's not ordinary, you know. Severe, walking, not shaving, sleeping in one place, sitting in one place, waiting for the food to come. Something someone gives you, take it, otherwise, no. Not running to the kitchen to grab something. Someone gives, yes. Like that. Very severe austerities you follow. You can read back, you know, whatever. Now, this, the section or the episode of Rishabhadev, through this section, we learn two things. One for the materialist and one for the yogis. A yogi who is in the ladder, you know, of coming up. So for the materialist person, Rishabhadev, what he did was, he passed urine and stool and he rolled over them. Although his urine and stool was fragrant, but yet to keep away from the non-devotees, just to keep away or aloof from the non-devotees, he did that. Smearing urine and stool. In the same way, what we should do is, learning from Rishabhadev's example, we should also be aloof from non-devotees. That is one lesson we learn. And the other thing is, the yogis are attached to the body. They want the body to be young. Yeah, they don't want any problems, anything. But the devotee doesn't care. It doesn't matter. Young or old or whatever may be, I continue my devotional service. So, he's through this, we learn that we should not be, that we should be detached from the body. But typically, you know, he's addressing the materialist and the yogis not to get attached to the body. So one should be detached from the body. So we take these two lessons home. One, we should be aloof from materialistic people, and two, we should be even slightly, whatever level, even detached from the body, because the whole process of Krishna consciousness is moving from body to soul. It's a whole process. We are attached to the body. The mind is attached to the body. So moving from mind to soul. Material nature to spiritual nature. That's our process we are doing. We are not doing something different. It's the same thing. Gradually, we are climbing the steps. As you become slowly Krishna conscious, you are moving from body to soul. And it is said that by my Guru Maharaj, that at the Nista stage, One is 50% body, 50% soul. So we should all try to climb to the Nishtha platform, where Anatta Nivritti is just leaving and we are going to the next level. Then relatively, you know, the material disease will be there, but it will not act upon. Relatively. Otherwise, you know, in the Anatta Nivritti stage, material disorder will come and you will act on that. Okay. Now, having said about the severe austerities, do we, as part of ISKCON, as part of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, do we have to follow severe austerities like Rishabhadev, growing beard, smearing with our urine and stool, sitting in one place, not taking prasadam? Do we have to do it? No. Why not? Rishabhadev is saying here, why not? So we don't want to follow Rishabhadev. So we don't want to read Bhagavatam. So the whole point in reading today's class is waste. Yes? Clear? Because you said no. Yes, Prabhu, we should follow or not? Shame. Sit in one place. Take your urine and smear it. As Rishabhadev done. No. Why? Reason. Okay.
Smell bad.
This is a very, very practical answer I've seen. Because we have to understand that our urine and smell, although we are devotees, is totally bad. Good. Now, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, our previous acharya, what does he say? He says, one must follow instruction from the current acharya. So who is our current acharya? Of ISKCON? Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada is our founder acharya. So, we have to follow his instruction. Did Srila Prabhupada say that you have to follow severe austerities? Did he mention, did he say that?
No.
No. In Beverly Hills, in USA, when Srila Prabhupada was going on a morning walk, one of the young devotees, like our Prabhu, he was with Srila Prabhupada, without slipper and walking nicely, you know. Srila Prabhupada, you know how he knows everything and is very observant. You know, he may look like that. That's why he has already captured that figure. Then that will be running. So he normally, you know, as a guru, he knows everything. He observes like this, you know. See, when I see, you know, I look at the floor, oh, that is clean, this floor is not clean, that's it. A guru, by seeing you, the way you see and the way you, they understand, this guy, okay. So, Srila Prabhupada, he's got his way of looking. Okay, then he went there. Then casually, you know, he looked at him and he said, oh, you seem to be very renounced. You know, then he looked at the, you know, like, so it seems to be very, because we are all going on a morning walk with shoes, and you seem to be very renounced, you know. That devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, he said, we are a preaching movement. We have to look nice and we have to preach, we present ourselves. Okay? So, you know, he gave the answer that, yes, when we go for a walk, wear your shoes. Walk properly, nicely. Don't make a show or don't become a showboy. Fine. So, this was the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. Just follow. Now, although he said that doesn't mean that we should not follow any austerities. What are our austerities in his form? As determined or as instructed by our Srila Prabhupada, what are the austerities we are supposed to follow? Yes, the main austerities.
Four.
Yes.
Four regulating principle austerities. You have to wake up in the morning, that is right. But if you follow the four regulating principles, you can say to some degree, yes, I'm fulfilling Srila Prabhupada's movement and instruction. Yeah? No, extra endeavor is good. You know, like Parabrahma Prabhu, Manmohan Prabhu, extra endeavor is good. But for our level, four regulative principles are must. That is a basic austerity we have to follow. And then, of course, chanting Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare
Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Hare. Why did Bhaktivinoda Thakur say that you have to follow the present or current Acharya? Because he himself is Acharya. Why did he say that? What's the reason for that? Because the current Acharyas gives you the principles based on time, place, circumstances. Kala, Desha, Bhakti. Why? To apply. Okay. Just for an example, in the scriptures it is said that a sannyasi should not wear stitched clothes. Do you know that? In the altar, as men, you know, we don't wear stitched clothes. That's why we wear kaupin. That's the other reason for that. Because underwear is stitched, you know, already, you know. So kaupin and dhoti and a chadda, all nothing should be stitched. This is a rule. And a sannyasi has to walk barefooted. Are you saying, do you know that? You don't know this. Sannyasi should not wear shoes. And on top of that, a sannyasi should not travel overseas. He should not cross the ocean. Have you heard that? Then absolutely no preaching can happen. We should be like an internal movement of the Vishnu consciousness. Srila Prabhupada's movement. No! Prabhupada said, wear shoes. Yes. Simply follow him. He said, cross ocean. Go in flight. Yes. Yes, sir. And then, wear shoes. And then, he said, you know, okay, you know, you wear a nice jubba and go. Sannyasis are wearing such one. Which sannyasi is wearing, you know, a top? You know, in India, maybe it's hot or something, come on, wear. But generally, in Western country, if you come, you know, next day you'll get, you know, cold and that's it. We're finished. So we have to wear jumper also. Jumper is stitched after stitch, you know. Stitching after stitching. So, fine. Follow the present Acharya. Then only we can apply. We cannot imitate. Yes, I am from India. In South India, they walk, you know, when you go to the temple. So I come without slippers. The mask is there, that is stitched. I cannot come. And then what will happen? You will be behind the bus. We will be. So, we have to follow the rules and regulations as determined by the current Acharya. So that we can apply in our lives. That is the basis. Yeah? Now, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, was driving a motor car. Do you know that? How can a sannyasi, he should not even wear his shoes and supposed to walk, is driving a motor car? Have you heard of it? He will come to the motor car in the temple. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, the topmost Uttama Adhikari. Is it alone? Motor car. First person to drive. And all the person used to criticize, what is this? Renault said, drive. Motor car. This is the power of Krishna. Ooh, current rules. You can follow under the guidance of the Acharya. Then it is okay. No problem. It's nothing. It is approved by the Lord Himself. Now, because we talked about the austerities, let us talk about the story. Before we move further, we see that in the pages of Bhagavatam, that lot of previous kings, Kshatriyas, they did lot of austerities. Dhruva Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, and so many great personalities. They did austerities, right? Because a Kshatriya, you know, they exhibited, you know, full vigor, and they did the severe austerities. They are following Ashtanga Yoga, where in the case of Prithu Maharaj, he did such that he is able to extract from his own body just at the time of death, you know, he was able to separate the material elements and the spiritual element, and the water he could merge into water, air into air. This high level of, you know, complex he was able to do because of his austerity, you know. He knew it's a body. And then at the time of passing away, the air went into air, body, water into water, this into earth, like that. This very high level he followed. So this is a very, very severe austerity people have followed, they had followed before. The Pandavas also followed austerities, you know, tapasya, austerity. Today we take up the story of Pandava towards the end. What kind of austerity they did, just to have an idea, as a story line. This towards the end, when they knew that the Lord and Krishna and Balaram has left the planet, they could not marry Pandavas. They are pure devotees of the Lord. If someone else passes away and leaves the planet, how can they live? They cannot live. And therefore, they decided, yes, we have to do severe austerities and we have to drop dead. So what is a suggestion? What we can do? So they consulted Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva said, okay, we understand that you are also Kshatriyas. You can perform severe austerities. Therefore, walk from your native till the Himalayas. Just walk, simply walk. That's it. Don't look back. You know the story, Guru? So, first all the five Pandavas, followed by Draupadi. They were walking. No looking back. Very hard. They're very, what you call, strong in their sadhana. We see from Dhruva Maharaj, the age of life. So, as they were walking, Draupadi was coming back and all that. But they walked for a long time, you know. Those days, walk, walk, walk. And then Draupadi dropped dead. That's it. That's a capacity. Then, constantly, Bhima is the one who normally asks questions to Yudhishthira Maharaj. You know that, no? So, Bhima asked, how come Draupadi, you know, she left her body so quickly? Then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, yes, because although she was equal to all the husbands, she was partial to Arjuna. She loves Arjuna more. Oh, then okay, they were all walking. Then Sahadev, he dropped dead. Then Bhima said, now what happened to Sahadev? Why did he drop dead? Because we are still walking. Then Yudhishthira said, Sahadev is known for his wisdom. He has developed a pride that my wisdom, you know, everyone is consulting me for me. And therefore, you know, at one stage, you know, that is his limit. Over. Then next is Nakula. He dropped dead. Then Bhima. Again, Yudhishthira Maharaj. Why? Now Nakula. Nakula is known for his handsome, very handsome guy. He was always proud, you know, because he was able to attract through you know, the handsome nature. And that's because he was something you're attached. So that's why he also, because he can't go. And then Bhima was the last, I think. Arjuna, I think, next. Arjuna next, and then only Bhima, and then okay, Arjuna then dropped. Then Bhima said, how come? He said, Arjuna, although he was good in archery, but yet he was a bit proud. He thought that the whole Mahabharata fight he won because of his archery. So that pride was there. And so he also, you know, you can't have that. Though he also got that. Then finally, Bhima knew his mind and everyone is dropping. Then Bhima also dropped. And before he was dying, he said, Yudhishthira Maharaj, please tell me, What is the reason? He said, you are too much attached to Prashadam. This is a problem. But Yudhishthira Maharaj did not die. He was going. And then, throughout that time, there was some dog following him. Right? And then, looking at the severe austerity and also the power, Yudhishthira Maharaj is very powerful. Right? He will not tell a lie. He is, you know, like Yamaraj, son of Yamaraj, you can imagine, you know, typically, you know, almost like a supreme authority, you know, in all his behavior, very, very gentle, you know. First, that's why Krishna wanted Yudhishthira Maharaj to rule. Such a, you know, gentleman, devotee, you know, perfect devotee, Yudhishthira Maharaj. Even between Pandavas, he is a perfect. Can you imagine? Pandavas themselves are perfect. And within them, Yudhishthira is the, you know, first class devotee. Such a powerful person. So, looking at that, Indra thought, okay, he deserves my help. Such a powerful, and everyone loves him, you know. Yudhishthira Maharaj means there is no enemy for him. Yudhishthira Maharaj does not have an enemy. Everyone is his friend. Imagine his caliber, you know. So, Indra thought, okay, I will now come. And he came, he said, yes, now we are going upstairs, you know. He said, where? We are going to heaven. Heaven? He was surprised. He said, yes, yes, come, don't worry, I'll take you, you know. He said, okay, let us go. And then he looked at the time the dog was there. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, he is taking shelter of me, this dog. So I want the dog. Indra said, no, dog cannot come in my chariot. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, no, I want the dog. Then if you want the dog, then I cannot take you. Then at that time, the dog revealed that it was Yamaraj. Father of Yudhishthira Maharaj. He said, it's just, you know, I wanted to test you and see whether, you know, you are really kind because you are attached to, you are kind to everyone. You know, you are merciful to everyone, the compassionate nature. Again, you pass. All the tests he will pass. Yudhishthira Maharaj. He has never failed any test. But one test he failed that you are going to see now. Okay? So, Indra was very happy. He said, come on, jump into my chariot, and he was going. As he was going, he saw the sun planet where Karna was enjoying with his father. Hey, daddy, you know, daddy and son. Karna, because Karna is the son of Sun God. So they are all right. Then he went. Then he went to Sorgaloka, Indra's planet. At the time he saw Duryodhana and his brothers enjoying. Then how come Duryodhana is there? So evil minded, how is he there? How come he is there? Then Indra said, you don't know the power of Krishna. He looked at in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Whoever, you know, was killed, it doesn't matter. Because of the power of the Lord, they all ended up in my planet. So it doesn't matter. They were all enjoying. Okay, okay. Then, at that time, as you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj, being the eldest, and also affectionate and kind personality, being a devotee of the Lord, he was having a soft corner for all his brothers. Now, Indra, I could see that all my brothers are dropping dead, you know, including my, you know, wife also. Kindly could you tell me where they are? Oh, don't worry, I can show you, come on. And then Indra was taking, you know, taking whom? Yudhishthira, very good. People are attentive, listening. So as he was going, there was slowly the sun was going, it was becoming darker. Okay. Further darker. And then some cries were coming. All crying like hospital. And then foul smell was coming. Then slowly, Yudhishthira Maharaj, what is this going on? Where are you taking? It looks like it's a hellish planet. Yes, yes, yes. At that time, he said, hellish planet. Now, why do you take me to hellish planet, Indra, you know? Oh, that's the reason. Don't worry. Come on, you know. Now, tell me where my brothers are. I'm asking my brothers. You're taking me to the hellish planet. But whereas Duryodhana is enjoying the Sorgaloka. And Karna, they are, you know, ill-treated a woman. He's enjoying with his father. All this. But where are my brothers, you know? At that time, you know, he said, tell me, you know, at that time I could say, Nakula and Sagadeva, oh, Yudhishthira Maharaj, please save me, I'm struggling here. Then Arjuna was saying, please help me, I'm also struggling. He said, what is going on? At that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj was bewildered. What is the fate of my brothers? In hellish planet they are suffering. At that time, Narada Muni appeared. Yudhishthira Maharaj, you are the first class gentleman. You are the pure devotee. But you did one small mistake. Because, what did you do? You did not listen to the instructions or the words of Krishna, right? Krishna asked you to tell the lie. Right? Krishna is supreme authority. Right? Krishna, if he says lie, that is absolute truth. How can Krishna tell the lie? When someone is absolute truth, whatever they speak is truth only. No? It's embodiment of absolute truth. Combination of Radha and Rani, Radha Rani and Krishna, they are absolute truth, embodiment. So how can it arise? And because he disobeyed, that is why it is like an illusion for you. You know? So you have to go through the punishment. Not directly. Krishna doesn't want you to punish. But you have to have that feeling that what is, you know, that oh, my brothers are all suffering and you also went through that. It's just a story, don't worry. You are pure devotees of the Lord. Your place is with the Lord and he takes them back. So, we will never disobey Krishna or we will never disrespect Krishna. Right? This is a story we learn. If Krishna says, always think of me, will you not think of him? Always chant my glories. We don't want to think of him. We want to end up in the hellish planet. No, think of him. Chant his glories. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And offer obeisances to him? Yes. The moment you see him, wherever, offer dandavats. And then worship him? Yes. It's my duty to serve the Lord. Worship him. So all we'll do, and why will we go to heaven, hellish planet? Our path is also towards this side. Okay, that is all about this session. Now moving forward to the verse 8. In the verse 8, it said that Rishabhadev was burnt. Yeah, Rishabhadev's body was burnt. So, if Rishabhadev is supreme authority and if he has got a spiritual body, how that body is burnt? Prabhu, please clarify this. Sorry, Prabhu?
Srila Prabhupada mentions it's not burnt.
Yeah, what is the reason?
His body is something.
He says that, yeah. But in the purport, you know, or in the Bhagavatam says his body is burnt. In the pastimes of Krishna, in the 10th canto, when there was a forest fire, all the friends of Krishna requested them. You know, Krishna, we are getting scared, you know, the forest is burning, all the animals, my friends are all, please protect me. Then Krishna said, Krishna doesn't want to scare them, friends, and he knows. So he said, just close your eyes for a minute and all that. And the Lord took all the fire, swallowed the fire, Krishna. He swallowed the fire. And Rishabhadev is an incarnation or is a plenary, full expansion of the Lord. So he is none other than Krishna with a spiritual body. How can his body be burned? It's material. Right? Material and spiritual. So Srila Prabhupada gives a verse, Bhagavad Gita verse. What is it verse? In 2.23. Yes. Yeah, 2.23, right? It says, Nainam chintanti tasrani नैनं दहति पावकः न चैनं क्लेदयन्तः न शोषयति मारुतः. The soul can never be cut to pieces by any weapon, nor burnt by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withheld by the wind. It cannot do. Then, Achkledo yam adatyo yam akledo shoshayevacha nityah sarvagatah sranurachayo yam sanatana. The individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble and can neither be burnt nor dried. Is everlasting, present everywhere, unchangeable, immovable, and eternally the same. So this is a property of the soul. So it's not burnt. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that his body is spiritual and it's not burnt. Yeah? The power to burn is also coming from Krishna. There is a story in Upanishad when Krishna takes a form of a Brahmin boy and is testing all the different demigods. Right? Anyone know that? First he goes to the wind god. He puts a rock, a dry grass. Because he was wind god, was thinking he can do anything. He said, can you, during the conversation, he puts that leaf. They don't know that is Krishna. He said, can you blow that, Wind god is, Vayu Bhagavan is blowing and blowing. He's not moving. The same thing he tries with fire god, Agni Deva. He is trying to burn and burn, it cannot. So what does it mean? What does it show? Even though the Agni is a fire god, he burns, he cannot do without the sanction of Krishna. So without the sanction of Krishna, even Agni cannot burn. Just try to understand this point. Do you understand the power of the Lord? How he is controlling each and every particle, atom of this world through his energies. Yeah, Agni cannot burn. Vayu cannot do anything. Because the power itself is coming. He is a source of all creation and power, Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhu mattaha sarvam prakartate. It's a source of everything, Krishna. So how can one can do things without Krishna's sanction or Krishna's power, Krishna's energy? One cannot do anything. Basically, we are nothing. This is how powerful Krishna is. That's one. And two, in the case of Ramayana, after Rama defeated Ravana and took Mother Sita, Mother Sita has to go through Agni. Was she burned? How come? She went this side and came that side. Of course, there was a lot. Chaya Sita was done. But overall, she was not burned. Whether Chaya Sita or real Sita. At the bottom line is, it's not burned. How come? Lord's energy. Not burned. Yeah? So, talking about this scenario, let us see. It's a brain whisker for you people. Now, I'm thinking of a scenario where there was a devotee, very powerful devotee. He used fire, it did not burn him. Whereas, a non-devotee had got lot of power and that person can do anything with fire, but that person failed because that person was trying to use against the devotee. Think of an example. Did you understand first the question? Anyone? Do you not understand the question? Do you understand the question? Okay. I'm thinking of a scenario where, there's a story there, where a devotee of the Lord, he used fire in the service of the Lord and he did not harm that devotee. You understand? That's one scenario. On the other hand, there is a non-devotee and that devotee had a lot of power even to withstand Agni and to burn and whatever you do with the fire. But that person, that non-devotee, used that fire to suppress the devotee and therefore that devotee failed, that the non-devotee failed. Correct. Hanuman is right one.
And Ravana.
Eh?
Ravana.
What is that?
Ravana.
Ravana. Ravana.
Holy.
There you go. See? Who? Bhakti Shastri teacher is
also.
Holy ka. Hiranyakashipu's sister. Non-devotee. She wants to. She has got a home wherein she can go into fire. Fire is not. Agni Deva will salute her. Yes, madam. Yeah, you understand? The other day when I was doing, you know, a lamp, you know, little bit it was burnt, you know, something. Sometimes you know, when you do the art, you know, 1 second only. Don't. You're doing the work. So that means the spiritual, no, still not the material, I don't know. But this person, Holika, she can be in the fire. Okay? Fire will not burn. This is a boon she got. But the problem is, her material, her body is material, her soul is spiritual. But in the case of Prahlad Maharaj, the body is spiritual, soul is also spiritual. And in the case of Hanuman, the body is spiritual, soul is also spiritual. So this is a problem. So if you understand the principle, you know. So Hanuman used fire. They tried to burn his, you know, his tail. That didn't happen. He did not burn it. And instead he burned everything. The Lord's service. Nothing happened to him. But Holika is a non-devotee. She, Hiranyakashipu, was trying to kill Prahlad Maharaj in all possible ways. He ran out of ideas. Because at that time there was no Apple computer. The only problem Hiranyakashipu had was he did not have Apple computer nor Microsoft. So that is why he was thinking and thinking and thinking, you know. Nowadays, the modern Hiranyakashipu will solve the problem. So he was thinking, he ran out of problems. And then finally, he asked, what is the solution to kill Prahlad Maharaj? Then Holika, Hiranyakashipu's sister, she volunteered. She said, I am capable of killing Prahlad Maharaj. Having seen that Prahlad Maharaj is unable, he cannot be killed, but still she said, I will kill him. I've got a power. And therefore what happened? She asked Prahlad. Prahlad Maharaj was a surrendered devotee. He did not care. So he went into the Holika's lap and he was sitting and he was chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Holika, the sister of Hiranyakashipu, was burned to death, to ashes. But nothing happened to Prahlad Maharaj. So what do we learn from here? What do we learn from here? That if anything is used in the service of Krishna, then Lord will protect us. But on the contrary, if we use something, although it is powerful, against Krishna or Krishna's devotees, then it is a distraction to us. Not to them, to us. So therefore we have to watch out. And finally, Srila Prabhupada says how, same in similar to, you know, Mahabharata, how in the Krishna's presence, all the soldiers in the battlefield, they attain liberation. In the same way, because wherever Krishna and Krishna's energy is present, it will benefit everyone. All living entities will be benefited because of the energy of the Lord, spiritual energy of the Lord. So in the Mahabharata, how because of the presence of Krishna, everyone was liberated. And people also ended up, you know, because they were also doing the prescribed duties, and some of them ended up going to Vaikuntha in Indra's planet also, which is heaven. So in the same way, all the animals, all the living creatures in that forest fire also attained liberation because of the presence of Rishabhadev, who is nothing but a plenary or a full expansion of the Supreme Person. Yeah. Okay, so with this we will stop here. So if there is any questions, comments, pick one please. So everyone understood the topic today. Yes? Okay. Harish, you know? Okay, so we'll stop here. This
is a trick. When you ask the questions, you just be quiet and just sit. And eventually somebody will put their hand up because if they just stand up and sit. But that's the hard part. The hard part is the first 30 seconds after you say any questions, you have to just have to sit there and make a scratch of the nose.
See, Prabhu, see, Prabhu is talking through his experience, you know. Whatever he says is experience, so, you know, it cannot be wrong. Yes, Priya. Now, Priya's question, I try to answer, because some of the questions. Yes, Priya.
What was the explanation of why his body was not the spiritual material? Is it material or spiritual?
See, Rishabhadev is a plenary expansion of the question. Why Rishabhadev body, we mentioned about how his body was not burnt. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that his body was not burnt because it is spiritual. And he gives an example that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that in the second chapter, 23 and 24 verse, that a soul is spiritual in nature. It cannot be burnt. It cannot be cut into pieces and all that. And therefore, his body, Rishabhadev's body and soul, both were spiritual. And because his body was spiritual, it cannot be cut. It cannot be burnt. So Prabhupada is giving that argument, that it cannot be burnt. It cannot be cut. Although apparently, a general, a non-devotee may think, yes, he died in a way like a materialist, okay, like that. But a devotee only can understand this phenomenon. Because what does a material person know about a body and soul and the difference between material energy and spiritual energy? They don't know. But we know, yes, Krishna is explaining in the second chapter that we are a conditioned soul in this world where we are a combination of matter and spirit. Our spirit is inside, we are the living force, but we have got external body. That body will be destructed, will be come to an end sooner or later. But in this case, it is not. And it's a pastime of the Lord. The Lord wants to do like that. Wants to show. See, earlier, you know, we also talked about it. Why Rishabhadev could have used a mystic power? When someone is pelting stones at him, he could have just disappeared and appeared. And, you know, he could have traveled at the speed of the mind. He had the mystic power, being a supreme Lord. But he did not use it. Because that is what he chose. So, although it says that it's burned, but Srila Prabhupada says his body is not burned. Because body and soul, both are spiritual for the Lord. Prabhu, would you like to add any comments to it? Yes. Is that okay, Priya?
Yes, so apparently it was burned, but it was actually not burned.
It was not burned.
But the person didn't see the ash.
Correct.
Spiritual person, they can see that
it's
modified
behind
them.
Is it right?
That I don't.
It's disappearance. Past time.
Yeah.
This is activity sufficient paper, right?
Yes. We're discussing his disappearance.
No, in that, you know, Prabhupada says, that verse is such that it says that Vishwapatel was burned in a forest fire.
That's right. That was his final. That was his
final, last stages,
Leela.
See, for example, in Krishna's pastime, how can a small arrow, see, even for example, forget about Krishna, I am a conditioned soul. If you prick me with the arrow on my tip of my toe, will I die? I'll go to orthopedician and remove my, toe or something, and I will be surviving. And the hunter, I was hitting Krishna, he was on the top of the tree, and it hit the toe of the Lord, and immediately the Lord is died. And Krishna left the mortal world. That's what they say. People are not a devotee. But Krishna says, my body is transcendental. And although the blood also came there, he said, the blood also came. And then Krishna died. And Krishna is saying, janma karma chayate. My birth and my activities are transcendental. So, what is explanation? So, for the materialistic person, Krishna wants to, I am like material, that is what it is. That is, you learn that, you go. But devotees, yes.
So, this was a Rishabh that disappeared at that point. So, Prabhupada's making the point that his disappearance is not a material phenomenon. It's not a material phenomena, but it's the final act in his performance of activities in that incarnation. So Prabhupada's underlining the fact that this is not a material activity, but this is a spiritual activity in which the Lord chose to end, wind up his pastimes as Rishabh. And so therefore, that clarification that his body has not been destroyed by the material, by material actions of the material energy, but rather he left. Because it wasn't that his body wasn't burnt and then remained there. He did not. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why that point is made.
Even Prabhu, when Krishna was winding up his pastime, he doesn't want all his family members to die in a different way. They were fighting among themselves, And that was the Lord who chose to do like that, All the, the Vishnu, all the families, they were shooting arrows between themselves and dying. Krishna does not want external force to kill the family members. And then they passed away, and how they are all spiritual, how can they die? As Prabhu said, the Lord has chosen to enact this pastime. And therefore.
And it bewilders the materialists because they see the external features of the Lord's disappearance, but they mistake it for the actions of the material energy. Whereas the devotees understand, and because they understand that this is an action under the influence of Yoga Maya, they appreciate the Lord's appearance, pastimes, and disappearance as being not material but spiritual.
Thank you, Prabhu. So we will stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki Nithai Gaurav Prema.